No, okay. Please, everybody, wait a minute. We're getting online as people coming in. Thank you. I'm not going to share tonight. Okay, welcome everybody. We're having with Science to Learn. We started already, and the new the next Shachmishi, which is called Sheikha the Maisa. And actually, on the new printouts, I actually changed it to the gate of oneness in all actions, which is it means Yichud. Like Yichud means like Yichud Hashem. Ahlus Hashem. Okay. You know, this is I said last time, it's a perfect example of how translations, translators by definition. The word devotion in Hebrew is mesilus, giving over. Yichud ha-maisa means, he says over here, so here, what's the point? Look over here, look at top of page two. What is Yichud ha-maisa? Explains it. When a person has kavana, sai in the mitzvahs that you can see, and sai mitzvahs you can't see, but ma'isa avedus elokim, in the ma'isa, when you're doing a service of Hashem, that should be l'shmoi, should be for the Eibusha, l'hagia l'ritzein, to reach doing His will. And last week we spoke a little about it. Bilti l'ritzein ha'briyah, without the will of people, a lot of times people get caught up in the niceness of a mitzvah and then the social part of a mitzvah, or worse, people try to use mitzvahs to flatter other people, how they can do the mitzvah. And that's exactly what it comes to be against. Because when you're doing a mitzvah, you're supposed to do a mitzvah. Because a mitzvah is, by definition, a ratzin of Hashem. Hashem is ratzin. This we spoke about. Ratzin is a koyach, is a general koyach a person has. A person has the koyach of intellect, seichel. A person has the koyach of midas, of emotions. And we spoke on the last time of Shabbat. We're talking how a person's seichel has to control his midas, right? And over here also, the next step, that... But seichel and midas is not really the person. Seichel is actually for a person that wants to understand how a thing is outside of him. It's not his say. He has seichel to understand how things are outside of him. It is his midas, but we'll then go along to the seichel. Where does a person's nefesh really come out? Where do you see a person's what he wants? When he wants something that's not necessarily for any specific benefit that he has, not for any specific knowledge that he has, understanding. I want. Ever see the word? Ever use the word? I want. I understand. But I understand. It's not so much what I am. It's I understand this. I understand something. It's limited to how much you understand. A person inserts himself completely in what he wants. And nefesh. You said the word mesiras nefesh in clear terms, and this is one of those things that got clarity in my life is when you ever use the word mesiras nefesh, everything's mesiras nefesh in terms of giving over your life, Hashem. Doing a mitzvah mesiras nefesh means even if you get shot, I'm not bound not to be the zara with mesiras nefesh, even if the person shoot me, I don't do it. That's mesiras nefesh. But that if you touch it like that, mesiras nefesh becomes a mitzvah, which is very far from a person. I mean, how many people want to get shot, right? Nobody wants to get into that situation. And you want to say a person says, serve or something, say it's never. So you could say, okay, even if I'm in a situation, I will still do it. But a person can insert Mesiris Nefesh in his Avodas Hashem when he's Mesiris HaRatzon, when he gives over his Ratzon to the Eibishter. If you understand the word Nefesh and Ratzon are synonymous. Synonymous, yeah. Are synonymous. Because Ratzon is the koyach a person has where his nefesh is expressed. I'm talking about a Ratzon which is not necessarily because of any specific understanding, just it's connected to what the person wants. This is what in the Shidduch it comes up a lot, but whether it's blinding or not, that's a whole kind of different conversation. In this conversation, we'll talk about, so that's what he's saying over here, very clearly. What's your ma'aseh on top of the page? I'm reading it in Lashon Kodesh, okay? Using it in English. What is devotion of action? It's not devotion of actions. It's yichud ha-maisa. How do you make maisa the oneness of the action to Hashem? It is the intent of all revealed or hidden acts in the service of Hashem to do them for His name, to attain His favor only. I should again. It's not His favor, to attain His will. How do you write favor here? Okay. If you do His will, they have His favor. But in other words, a person wants to come. Is this the Ratzon Hashem? That's the bottom line. And if a person can do that, and that's how he says, if you remember, Shabbat B'tachon, he said, the B'tach of Hashem tries very hard to do Hashem's mitzvah, and he brings the Mishnah, Batle Ritzein, Chobne Ritzein, Mivat Yir Ratzon, Peras Hashem. That's the goal. So that's Yichud HaMaisim, okay? Now, That was, I'm doing a quick summary, right? So to understand this, and that's why the Tzahara suddenly becomes a conversation, because the next chapter, he's going to go, he tells you that in order, how can one devote all of his actions to Hashem alone, right? So through ten matters. And that means when they establish in a man's heart and he clarifies for himself that they are that they are the pillars of his service and the roots of his action. When a person makes this the way he thinks, the way he is, he will be able to fully devote his action to Hashem and will not turn or nor hope in anyone else, nor have any other intent in them other than do his will. How? Okay. The first one we said, and now he's actually reviewing to you how he set up a Sefer Chevus Halavavos. He's saying the first one is Yichud Elikim B'Lev Shalom. You see, the unity of Hashem. He said, suddenly where Yichud is not devotion, suddenly where Yichud is unity. The unity of Hashem, as explained at the beginning of the book, and last week we spoke about that when a person understands the world is not, it's not that there's a world and that Hashem exists. And Hashem creates and gives life to this world. So it works out to be that the world exists. There is an existence other than Hashem. But rather, everything means that Hashem is creating the world every moment. So the world really is a koyach haliki. The world is really a koyach of Hashem. That Hashem is creating this to be. The thing by itself cannot exist for a second. The second Hashem stops wanting it to be, and the second one of the Sadam Amari stops, that's the thing that disappears also. We have the muscle with the water, right? We get it. Okay. So when a person understands that, then he can realize there is no other Messias other than Hashem, that this helps him. When a person makes it their way of thinking, I'm looking at the world. I see a sun, a powerful sun coming every morning on the exact same and the same time, not on the clock, but it's always coming up, and you can it's and exactly it never failed. It's done the same thing for all these thousands of years. You can actually set your clock on it, right, like that, and everything else and as we see it. So the world wants to say that, but really this sun that's moving is constantly being created by Hashem. So I don't worship the sun because there is no sun. There is only Hashem. When I go to work and there's a client or there's a boss or whoever there is, the boss looks like he's controlling things. He's not. I heard a very interesting thing. Cooperstein, one of the she was the ones we met. We feel a certain special closeness to him. So we met the parents of Cooperstein, Bar Cooperstein. He's the guy who wears his hat backwards. And not him.
We didn't meet him because he was away.
Met the mother and the father. Yeah, I danced with the father in the wheelchair was dancing. Yes. Anyways, this is given over. I've actually heard it before, but that one of the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, they wanted to pressure the parents. They called up Cooper's mother and said, if you want to see your son again, you're not doing enough. You have to go to The Hague and that. So this mother, you have to see this lady. She's a Baal Shuva. He says, my son is not in your hands. He's in God's hands. I'll tell you something more. You're not in your own hands. You're in God's hands too. Was quiet on the phone, and this terrorist says, well said. What'd you tell him? She told him, my son's like, you hands. Hashem making happen. In 1 second, Hashem is home. And I tell you something, you're also nobody. You're also in God's hands. I told him the truth, and this terrorist, whoever he is, got quiet, and he says, well said. He's trying to scare her. He has power, and he's going
to
do
to somebody else.
What I hear is, what happens? Yeah.
They
call the mother. They were never torturing the parents. They should go out and they should demonstrate. Yeah, these are very, very, they play mind games a lot. Anyway, so this is the pillar. He's saying, the Yisoid, when a person makes this these nine things, as you say this, so then he can actually achieve to do only Hashem's will. Next thing is to see, reflecting on the constant favor Hashem does on himself, like explaining gate two. So this is gate one, right? And then you have Ashlishi, that you should be Mekabel. On yourself to be a servant of Hashem, because once you see Hashem is doing all things for you, you want to serve him. The fourth one is you trust only in Hashem. You see how he's building up. The fifth one is they should believe that the Elis and the Nezik is not in hands of any of the creation, like this Mrs. Kupusin told us terrorists. And there's no ability for anybody to harm some of that mission of his creator. And we look at this ultimate betachon, the terrorist in the film. And the sixth one is that it be equal to oneself, whether people praise him now in order to become humble. So now the first five are about emunah and betachon. Now, in order not to see, not to reject other people, not to do a mitzvah that you are watching as will be happy with him. So you have to have You should try to work on that. It should come equal to you. If you people are praising you, people are scorning you. If it's seventh one, is to abandon trying to establish to be liked by other people, embellish oneself. The eighth one is to clear one's heart from the iskan elam hazeh, and to feel embarrassed and feel embarrassed about the fear of Hashem. And be in bush in front of him, humble. Okay, 9. What's 10? I said right at the beginning. What we're really trying to do here, that's what today we're going to do this. We're trying to get to 10. But really, the conversation in these classes is to establish, to understand how the Yetzirah works. Because as long as we don't understand Yetzirah works, we don't know really whether what the idea is coming up to our head is coming from the Yetzirah. So whenever the Yetzirah, even if those stirs an urge in one's heart, a person has to take counsel from the intellect and follow it and not follow the needs. So there's a two-pronged thing over here, he's saying. First of all, when an idea comes into your head, when an emotion comes to your heart, train yourself not to do something before you actually do it. And then ask yourself, is it coming from the Yetzirah or not? Actually, today I shared a story with them. I've shared it before, but this is Mamash, one of the things that I was able to bring into practice. I was sitting in this little cell learning one morning, and I overheard. I heard this guy talking on the phone. It wasn't hard to hear because the door was Mamash 2 feet away from the phone. And there's slats in the door. The air comes in. And the guy had a very, 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 very ugly conversation. A conversation I never wanted to hear. I can't remember what it was really about, but I remember it was something that you hear and you wish you didn't hear. And I was learning about Gemara, and I suddenly found myself jumping up to see who just said that. So at this point, be voice of my seichel, ask your seichel, suddenly you want to go see, what are you doing? Before we do something, ask your seichel, why you suddenly have an interest in this and the other. But there's nothing he said I liked. So I said to myself, sure, I want to see the guy's face because I'll see who it is. Next time, I'll stay away from him. And that's how I cut. That's how I figured out that Yetzirah is talking to me. There was nothing good about what I was about to do. Because when he said, I want to see him, because when a thought came to my mind, that I want to see this guy because I want to stay away from him, that was a lie because I stayed away from everybody. I didn't need to see him, stay away from him, right? So then it got me in trying to understand myself. And this is what we're trying to do now with this Shaykh Lemaisa. And trying to understand how you work, I kept on going. In my own mind, I was like, I have to understand. And I said, so why is HR pushing me to see this guy? Why is it so important? And then I realized, once I realized that the enemy is here and is trying to do something to hurt me, and I realized, I said, now I saw it from a different angle. So why is he putting such an emphasis that I should go look? Because he knows if I go see the guy, every time I look, see him, I'll remember what he said. This way, I heard something. I didn't want to hear, and it's easy to forget. I talked to forget. I don't remember what I said. And I'm telling you the story, I don't remember the guy. I just said it was very, very repulsive. And if I would go and see the guy, I would see, so every time I would see him, the other effect, it wouldn't be, see, that's, you have to be smart to understand what is the real purpose of the whole thing. The initial thought was they started trying to convince me to go see him, so he stay away from him. That was a lie. What did he really want? He wanted me to see him. So every time I see him, oh, this, that guy said this. I have to forget it. it's like the mitzvah is here to some other, you know. Remember Mark? And erase, you know, that type of thing.
But you can't do things quickly.
Huh?
We still process things 30 seconds.
It did. That's why. Who's something
about. Right, you're not supposed to be here.
Who's rushing you?
It's the answer.
Part of it is. Yeah, correct. 100%. So so that's what he's saying. And Baruch Hashem, I learned a lesson from there. I learned not to raise this. Not actually. First, I saw this idea of taking counsel from me seichel before you decide to do something was a very good advice, right? Because I took counsel, I made a decision based on my seichel, and I was helpful. Not only I was helped, actually I learned a big lesson in life. Like for the next many years, I was in prison. I trained myself not to look. I heard a lot of stupid things. I heard a lot of crazy things. But I trained myself not to turn around and see who said it. Like as I walked by, you were sitting around, to pick up your head, look who said it. Because that sort of detached me from them. I was talking to these girls about technology and what you see and the effect that it has. What you see stays with you stronger than when you hear. So in the world, if you want to stay a little bit detached from the world, everybody's very careful of Shemitah Saloshan because of the severity of speaking Lashon Hara. But there's also big damage done if you're looking at places. So how do you stay removed? You have to be careful. Well, you put your eyes, that's all. So he says, here's the 10th final direction he gives you. Whenever the Yitzhahara, to use, you say it in the Lashon Kedesh. She invites him a Seichel, the person should take counsel with the Seichel, b'chol ha-hura ha-yetzah, with all the hura ha-yetzah, when he is makabel, and before he's makabel. And obviously, in the whole world of emotional health that everybody is talking about today, and everybody is saying, they're using the word trigger, and they're using the word traumatized, and whatever they're using, they're walking away from this. They're walking away. The idea that the emotion comes, boom, you can't control. You could control it. Because all you have to do is to work on it, to train yourself. That's a person that has a brain. Before you get an emotion, ask the phone question, an emotion, before an idea comes to your head. Before you say, I should accept it, let me think this thing through. Is it coming from me? Why is it important? Because like we'll learn in a minute, it's very hard to tell sometimes. You know, if the Yitzhahara goes and tells you doing a very, you know, so again, it's coming to the Yitzhahara because their action is no good, right? So sometimes it's an acceptance of a model, of an idea, of a truth, an emotion that should feel good. But everything ultimately is defined by Torah. So a person can ask himself, okay, this is something I should accept or not accept. What's the premise? What's the premise? Well, the premise is, if it is Ratzon Hashem or not. You see how it works back here?
Is it always one or the other?
No, that's it's either Toiv or Ra. It can, it, it,
let me
see.
If someone's like, okay,
okay, so if you take it or eating kosher food, okay, so the world, has no. The purpose of why taking a walk.
Now I can make the walk into a better thing, but the idea in my head
that
when we walk, that's
amazing. No, but it's a kavanah. Okay. So yes, it's a purpose. I want to take a walk. Am I going to do it the way it's how table wants me to do it? I'm doing it how it wants me to do it. I'm eating food. I'm going to be taking a walk.
I'm saying the action can be made either or, right? But the thought now, that what we envision with that thought.
Yeah, look at the words. Kavanah, look at it. That's a mitzvah.
That's time.
Go back to the top of the page 2. Okay. It says, you can imagine give him a kavanah. What is your kavanah to do? So the world is set up in three categories. The world is set up in Kedusha, in Tumah, and then a lot of the Shus in between. A lot of the world is just the Shus. Things are permissible. When a Yid uses the world, now he's putting it in one of two places. He's either putting it in the Kedusha, the godly place, or he's putting it in a Klippitika place. Now, a Klippitika place is actually an Isser, but a Klippitika place that's not godliness, which is itself a Klipp, right? He, and that's the bridge. That's the beginning of his connection to the kavanah. What are you doing now? You'll find out. That's the next question. Why do I want to walk? And you find out who told you that. You know, nobody does anything because they don't know. But they do something because either what they walk is you have to get a refresher. Which is good. It's like eating or sleeping, anything else that issues. Or you're doing it because you want to waste time. Or you want to see, you want to look. Yeah, it's in the kavanah. It's exactly the point. You have, you go into a very, very, I think we do it every day, a few times a day, we eat. Okay, it's on the kavanah. If I'm eating because I like the taste of the food and I just enjoy eating this food and it makes me feel good. So for the moment, this whole food thing and this whole actions are going into clipper now. But you're gonna have energy, you're gonna live from it, from the food. You can elevate. Yeah, but again, if you say I want to eat right now because I'm a Yiddish person, I have to be healthy. Serve Hashem. This is a command. We're not trained as much as that because everybody says, I'll be doing a mitzvah, you know? But in truth, a person has to guide himself in life to try to, everything he does should be for a purpose. Yichad amais, you see? Yichad amais. Whatever you're doing, do it fashion. It goes for mitzvahs and it goes also for the divine issues. He is specifically talking about mitzvahs itself, but
let's say the pattern of people. It's not
something
you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But then in action, you're saying it could be something you're doing that's not bad or good, right?
Right.
Neutral.
But I'm saying the action before you did it is neutral. When you do something, when he does something, as I explained in the sparring, when he does something, he's either elevating it or he's going down with it. Because if he's doing something that's not for Hashem, that means for the moment he's moving himself into a place where Hashem is hidden, more than just permissible, because right?
Well, I think in reality, taking off its klipa, and then if you make it into a good thing, then it's good. So let's say thoughts, it's not like that. Like, let's say you just had thoughts. Maybe it's just neutral. Now I'm saying, okay, I'm going to walk to refresh myself, so that made it good.
Yeah.
So before it was neutral.
A walk could be either neutral. I'm saying you'll find who gave you the thought. You'll find out as the thing processes. You'll see where it came from. Yeah, because you're talking about a natural thing to eat can come from the yeah. What is the terminology that uses the word klipa? You know what klipa is? A shell. A peel. What's a peel? So why do they choose to use the word klipa? No, a clipper on a fruit. A clipper is necessary to have to protect the fruit. What you really want is the fruit. The clipper is just there to help the fruit grow. Fruit cannot grow without a peel. So when you want to describe something that's not there for itself, just for something else, use the word clipper. Now, a clipper could be a shiny clipper, snake, a clipper, a shiny clipper. It could also be clipper stuma. It could be a tumatic clipper, which is an aveda. Clipper is Hashem giving life and energy to those existences that are not kedusha. But Hashem wants it there for a purpose. So Hashem wants a physical world for it to be able to eat and do it and then bring Kedusha into it. So that's Klipas Nega. And then Hashem also gives it from there comes the lower level of the Klipas Atmeyas, which is the source of all the Avedis, things you're not allowed to do. And let's say if you're planting a tree that's not allowed to be planted, even an animal's not kosher, all these things are getting from Klipas Atmeyas. Now, when a person is a Kedusha, he gets involved with something and he doesn't do it in a Kedusha like a way. So where's that life, where's it coming from? It comes from klipa, because if it's not doing a kedusha, it's coming from klipa. So the action itself is not is now if he ultimately uses the energy he got from sleeping or from eating and he uses it for davening, then he elevates it. But for the moment, it slides down. The problem is this: it sounds okay, so it slides down, you pick it back up. The problem is, look how people work. There's something that's very practical. And he himself says a lot of times. Chaim Salavi says a lot of times. Why is it so bad? And he will mention that the ninth attack that Yitzhak uses is enjoy kosher stuff, enjoy the world. Not necessarily when a person gets involved enjoying the world, you think it's part of it. He says not part of it, because what happens is the person is now moving away from Kedusha into the world of enjoyment of himself. What do I enjoy? I enjoy doing this. I like this. I like this. I like this. Once he's busy liking, now it's very easy for him to get introduced to something, a liking that is awesome. But before, he had no shackles to it. And you watch people, and initially, they get very, very magushim, they're very much into eating. And mitamol, oh, why don't you try this? Well, this doesn't have a good heksha anymore. But you're into tasting things. And mitamol, you start sliding away from the heksha because you want to taste this, right? Or worse, you start doing things, or you go places you really don't want to go. But since you started this tour thing, I got to see the world. And mitamol, you wind up touring a church, and you wind up looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. So you mama see this what's being explained in a spiritual sense. You see Pashan action. It starts out moving into the realm of Padav. What you call Padav, what people think is Padav. It's not really Padav, it's the bridge from here. Now the Yetzer can shift you over to Issa, because now you've learned how to the world of pleasures and sights and scenes, whatever you learn. So now it's easy for the Yetzer to move you into Tum. Where, if you want to stay in the middle of Kedusha, I'm not into eating, so I made good tazai. I don't have to go explore new tastes and new ideas and new things, right? Okay, I think that's a major mistake people make, that the people think that there is an meaning of pattern. There is no pattern.
And being curious, is the event?
Being curious, you said? What did
you say? Oh, yeah. That is the event.
To be curious?
Yeah,
and then
and it flows away on that street. You're curious.
You're curious. You're looking around to things that you may bump into. You don't want to be looking at. So that we're talking.
You want to know? I don't know where some ground I lived, and I think funny. I'm curious.
Wait, what?
I'm like dumb thing. Just curious again.
In the world of knowledge. Okay, we're gonna go track. Let's you're asking good questions, then I think
is it there?
You'll find out. If you're curious looking through Sfarim and trying to find a good medrash, it's not easy. Yeah. If you're curious looking around the world, I would venture to say it is easy. And they were using the word curious, but you're opening yourself up to experience things that you would never have done before. But what are you saying? I'm not really looking to say anything, but if I bump into it, I'll enjoy it. Okay, yeah.
Let's say someone has, I just want to when you know if this, let's say, call the world trigger, if it's a UTFO, it's a, let's say you have a couple waiting for kids, talking about a breast or a girl with a pasna or whatever. Let's say they want to miss a certain part or whatever, because it felt like it pains them.
That's not a trigger.
Not sure, whatever the words can, like people use the word, oh, triggers me to go to my, I don't know, younger sibling's breast, because I'll use that example, because they're, whatever, I'm using a different example, because it's hard for me to, let's say, I don't know, younger co-workers making a breast 10 years younger than me, I don't want to go. Is it considered your Yetzer Hara telling you don't go, or is it your Yetzer talking?
Not necessarily. I mean, if a person is pained, if a person is pained by putting such situations,
I just had
that's not where trigger. Trigger is describing something.
Trigger about heading with Dieter. You know, Dieter, call calling the pressure.
Huh?
That's how you use the word trigger.
Right?
It brings up an emotion. People say
that. Again, but that's not a trigger. It means you're putting yourself in a place with, you know, you're not. Yes. If you know this is going to happen, it's not tricking you. You're putting yourself in a situation that you know that this is going to bring up a certain emotion. Because if a person doesn't have children and he goes into a place where there's a lot of children, you know that that place is a space where he starts thinking about kids, he doesn't have it. So
just yourself.
So that's not.
How do you know what you're supposed to do?
Only if there's a benefit. Otherwise, why go there?
It always happens. You never know what the right thing is.
If there's a mitzvah to go there, for example, and he's saying that he's the inconvenience of something else. Sometimes if you do go, it doesn't make a difference. People go to where they like to go. If they don't enjoy going, they don't have to go.
What's the part of saying I enjoy going? That's what I'm trying to understand.
That's
how I'm trying to know. Which part? Tell
me. The question is, a person is supposed to live. A yid lives to serve Hashem, right? He went through all nine, and then he has to know that there's a Yetzer Hara undermining all these nine. That's what's happening. Nine and ten. So he's saying, before anything comes up, you are going to be challenged by a thing called Yetzer Hara, and therefore be aware of it, and then prepare yourself for him, and don't fall into his trap. And in Perikei's explanation, that's what he's saying. He's saying, in other words, as you go through and you try to work on these nine before, there are ideas, intellectual and emotional ideas going to come at you. It's actually come from Yetzer Hara. So ask the Seichel. What Seichel is, it says it before. Seichel means Seichel of Torah. So identify what this is. Is this a benefit or not? If a person doesn't like going somewhere because it's too cold or too hot or too far or whatever it is, he doesn't have to go unless it's a mitzvah. Now, like we had an example, I actually got printed in here. If a father asks a guy to build a sukkah, and the father triggers him because he's traumatized by it, that's a true story, yeah? So he can look at it two ways. He can look at it, he feels very uncomfortable doing it, right? But on the other hand, if he does that, then he's busy with himself. Or he could see it now as an ability, I can now go ahead and do what Hashem wants me to do. And that goes into the world of Nisayan. So I have opportunity now to show Hashem that my life is not being lived about my Ratzon. I am born to Ratzon Hashem. It fits exactly what we're saying. There, if he decides not to go, clearly it's the Yetzer Hara, because he's choosing himself over what Abraham wants him to do.
You want to be like, no, but how do you know?
And he has an excuse, and not as excuse. And they've convinced him that this is a health issue, which is not. It's a Yetzer Hara issue. That's what it really is. And in the story that I have, I called him the next day. He wasn't in the hospital. He was very happy home.
So if you think of situations that come up and you think, what did Gadol Hadar push themselves? The answer is always
yeah. Yeah, because everything a person, in every situation a person lives in, Chol Masecho, Chol Derecho De'eyu. That's a clear. Chol Masecho is in Masecho. What you're doing, not mitzvahs. Masecho is the power of things you're talking about. Even when you're doing Masecho, your power, you think it's part of, do it L'shem Shemayim. Chol Derecho, in all your ways, De'eyu. No, meaning, do it with the kavanah of serving Hashem. Obviously, it's not something you pick up right away. We start out wanting to do clearly mitzvahs, but as we get older, we have to go to those things that are even masach on the rechacha.
I'm glad you added that getting older part.
How do you know?
I have a better idea. Let's move the pedikay. And there he actually explains you how you get to know who's talking. Actually, in pedikay, we're stuck in pedik base. In chapter 3, he tells you that the real point in chapter 3 tells you that the real point of this need to be careful and have the right kavanah in doing a mitzvah is really only in the mitzvahs that you're doing mitzvahs. But if you're doing mitzvahs in the of the heart, if you're doing a mitzvah, if you have an avos mitzvah, obviously there's no chnifa there, because that's clearly And then chapter 4, he says like this. I want to move to chapter 5. Okay? He says, and this is interesting. And remember in Shabbat B'tochen, he put in the Mafsid B'tochen at the end, the Perek Zayin. Here he puts in chapter 4. Mafsid Yichud HaMaisid L'Yikim is three things. First, the thing is ignorance of Hashem and His good. So you'll see it soon. This, it's very important to understand. Again, it goes back to the what was the first one of the nine? Yichud Hashem Amunah B'Lev Shalom. Knowing Hashem and Shai
B'Chinah. Why does he use the word Yavos to understand? A person can never understand Hashem's ways.
To understand Hashem's goodness. Hashem and His goodness. Now, there are certain things about Hashem you can understand.
Why does he use the word Yavin?
You shouldn't think about Hashem, you can understand. You can understand that Hashem exists. You can understand that Hashem is you can understand that Hashem is one. And that's what he devotes Shaykh Dalikim to explain those things. So the more you understand that, and then the second one, the person doesn't understand the mitzvah and Taylor. And actually last night we got into it all depends on the ones listening to the shir. There's a big discussion about this area. But if a person realizes that a mitzvah is Ratzon Hashem, and you know, somebody actually really try to remember this. One of the women there told us after the class that her younger child, I think it was 8-year-old kid, and he didn't want to get snuggled or nothing. So she told her kid, if I can remember exactly how she said it, but she I think she gave it right, that there's tumah on the hands, and when we wash the hands, there's tumah on the hands. Look, we wash it. You go to school, then we can understand what the Rebbe is saying better. Able to learn Taylor better. Something they can hear it. And he started watching that class, no problem. Even it's the fascinating thing is, everybody convinced himself, the kids can't understand. The Mephesh could understand. You have to tell them that. You have to tell a child that. So he says, ignorance of Hashem's mitzvah. What's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is just an obligation to get Elam Haba. He's right now happy with Elam Haba. How you like that? What are you doing that? A mitzvah is just, I'm making it it's not only about Elam Haba. A mitzvah means that it's Hashem's will that Hashem created me for this. Hashem's will. When I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm connecting with Him. I'm fulfilling His ratzon. So if you're missing that aspect of what a mitzvah is, well, Taylor is not just chokhmah, it's chokhmah Hashem. It's more Hashem. If a person has that, then it doesn't get trapped as much into devoting. It's easier to devote your ma'aseh to Hashem only when you realize I am now doing a mitzvah. I'm fulfilling Hashem's will. It's like a story with a seder plate. I'm Hashem's will. And therefore, I can put five things on the Seder plate. I have to make sure I have all six, because Hashem will do six. I only have five. It's not His will. A lot of things fit into that thing. And then finally, the third one is what we're talking about, that the thoughts is existing, it presents to a man to endear him in this world and distance himself from the path that leads to his good in the next world. So the third way how this Yichud gets attacked is not understanding Hashem and His goodness, not understanding what the mitzvah is, and finally, not understanding we have a Yitzhahara, meaning we have a Yitzhahara who comes with arguments, and if we're not going to use our seichel to fight back the arguments, he will win, and it's automatic, undermines that. So that brings us to the end of chapter 4. I'm going to jump over to the middle. At the end of chapter 4, he says that the Yitzhahara comes to a person in two general ways. Okay? The old English is here, it's from translation, but it's not the heading there. He said like this. He says, the first way the Torah comes to attack a person is he puts in doubt, mesapkis alof hadmitis, the things they know to be true. Thoughts of which cast doubt on truth and confuses Amunah, so that it cannot do any religious act properly. Once he works with doubt. And the second thing he works by, he top of page 5, he comes in the way of arguments and proofs that a zeal and exertion in the service of Hashem is neither a duty or nor meritorious. And advise them to set the work of the world. Starts questioning the ganze meisa, what you need mitzvah for. It's not a schos. All these narish kaitim. Yeah, with his voice. Oh boy. Okay. So pedikay. So now let's understand who Yitzhar is. And this is also very important. In our world today, we are told that a lot of our actions, a lot of our feelings, a lot of the way we are, comes from outside influences, who we were born to, where we lived. Of course, it has an effect on everything. You look, Abraham Avinu was with Lot. Just Lot being there, he affected the Shekhinah, revealing himself to him. Of course, the Rambam writes that since a person is affected by surroundings, has to make sure to be good surroundings. Otherwise, you go live in the cave. That's not what he's saying here, though. But the real challenge a person has is not coming from the outside where he's at, it's coming from inside. The problem is, even if inside is good, the outside can awaken inside problems, right? He can learn from them. So it's in the Yetzer Hara so if a person says that because they got into a car accident, that's why the damage for life, they want to liken that thing because he had a bad day or something in an emotional thing, suddenly he can't have certain emotion, it's difficult. But all these things are really coming in interpretation of the Yetzer Hara, how he wants you to utilize a thing in your life that happened that was painful, and use that as a thrust to stay away from Hashem's will. Okay? See, he says like this. I saw fit to clarify for you that this subject, some examples which will teach even on things I've not mentioned, in order that people will watch out for them, so that their hearts will be complete with Hashem. As the wise man said, let the wise man hear and increase understanding. And now he starts his explanation of who the Yetzer Hara is. And he says, oh man, you should know that the great arch enemy you have in this world is your own Yetzer Hara. I know I keep saying Yetzer Hara, he says Yetzer. But here's the point. He's interwoven in the forces of your soul. He's intertwined in the order of your spirits. He associates with you in the guides of your physical and spiritual senses. He rules over your senses of your soul and what is hidden. And he is your advisor in all of your movements, whether visible or invisible, that you wish to do. So imagine, Yetzer Hara is your advisor.
Not me, you're being very personal.
He tries to become your advisor. He lies in wait, watching your steps to lead you astray. You're asleep to him, but he's awake to you. You look away from him, but he does not look away from you. He masks himself as your friend and pretends to show love. He enters your inner circle of close friends and advisors. From his gestures and sighs, it appears that he's running to do your will, but in fact, he's shooting the arrows at you to kill you and uphold you from the living, as the verse says. And bring me to
Pesukim. You just read as a translation.
No, that's all. The pasuk is like a madman who throws fire and arrows, and that's so the man of the Caesar friend that says, no, am I not joking? That's from Mishnah. So I think in practical terms, when a person realizes that it's an inner struggle that he has, so then he
he's customized the point
there. Everybody's busy. I can't go here. I can't go there. I could go here. I can't go there because this triggers me. That's me. Everybody's busy. I can talk to this, but I can't talk to that one. If I cut this one off, I'll be happy. I don't do all that because it really has to do whether you're taking advice from the Yetzer Tov, Yisechel. You think about yourself, that's really what it's about. So I remember the whole fight with Peter. They wanted the animal rising. Or later these rabbis, these unreligious rabbis that wanted to become they wanted to put a hechsher on the meat from agri processes. And I spoke to the Rabban didn't want to let. So I told him, okay, what was the whole fight about? What did they really want? They knew that they're not adding anything to the kashrus. They wanted a seat at the table. They wanted to be part of the conversation because then they're looking for a place to put in something that would benefit them at the expense of Torah mitzvahs. That's what the Yetzer Hara always wants. It's hard let me explain to you an interesting thing.
They want to become part of everything so that when they come to a place that they could put in
their very simple. The Gemara says, Kachi Dakash. What's the Dachis? Hayim Emer Sekach. Tell us to do this. Ad, tell us to do it. So, one of the Rabbein pointed out a very interesting point. Doesn't say Kach, doesn't tell you to do an Aveda. He'll tell you to do a mitzvah. So, why do you say to do a mitzvah? Oh, this mitzvah, this is a good mitzvah. I agree also. Yes, I have to do a mitzvah. So now you're training yourself, you're allowing, you're bringing Yetzer Hara into part of your conversation. I want to do a mitzvah, even my Yetzer Hara agrees. I like when he writes the article, even the Goy agrees. Who cares the Goy doesn't agree? Why is he part of the conversation? That's what he's talking about. You're making him part of your conversation. Why? Because then when a real thing comes up, and now it's Negeya, and he goes, I don't agree. Because you made him part of your conversation, Mitamol, his agreement argument makes a difference to you. And then when it makes a difference, he doesn't agree.
That original mitzvah.
So he will even tell you to do a mitzvah. I actually use it sometimes. Somebody will come to me and tell me, He had a hard time as a younger bocher. Then he got himself into learning, and for 3 years he's doing good. Over 3 months, it doesn't make a difference the timing, yeah. And he's doing good. And mitzvah again, boom. He had a nefilah, and then he's decided himself. I can't. I realize. And the very sabbath says, "You see, you're no good. You keep on tripping." So I just like to wake somebody up sometimes. I say, you know, maybe the first 3 years or 3 months you were learning good. It's hard. I was pushing you to learn. It's interesting, you know. This is what.
You
need to
discern that.
Oh, that's harder and harder.
That's right.
That, but my point is, it's very possible. You say it every night in my v'hosa satan mefeinu v'harenu. Sometimes they sort of push you. Go, learn, get your Latin. Learn late at night so you get too tired to get up in the morning. Learn very good for a few years, so then later when I give you a trip over, you'll fall on your nose and you'll think you're no good anymore. So yeah. So that I tell you how you know. I tell you how you know. If you're gonna use, if a guy has a good time, and then he has a difficult time, and he realizes the good time came from the Yitzhatev and the bad time came from, now he's being challenged, he's have to stop. Okay, so what does he do? He continues learning. But if a person says, "Well, I tried so hard for 3 years and it's not working," then you know you're actually using the 3 years of good learning to get you off the way. Then that's Yitzhatev.
You have to
do
before you start, right?
And they don't know that, you don't know. But yeah. you have to realize there could be at least don't allow yourself to use a good thing you did to get you off track. Obviously, when it comes to Cheres Lavavos, when it comes to understanding Yitzhatev, it's simple and then it gets more complicated. I'm just trying to point out this is what it means. It becomes intertwined in your thoughts.
I have a very real example. Oh, yeah, I'm in the wrong, let's say. I stepped out of the bill. Since then, since Rim Kippur, can't open it again. No, I'm serious. So all those sperm that I said, I think it's from the Tzahar. No, but I'm serious. No, I can't. Like, right, I'm like, I'm telling you, it's so all those are the Tzahar then?
No.
I can't take the report or whatever. I just didn't make the time for it like I normally do. I was like, I just.
I'm bringing it by way of example. This is brought in all different languages. I've heard from Chassidim, heard from Nazim. The Yitzhahara comes not always as a gangster. It sometimes comes like an elephant. Yeah,
but this is, what would this again be?
And it's just dressed up in Shabbos clothes. You know, it doesn't always come like a Bekachah. So this is my point. You know, if you say, I can't say Tehillim, and because I said last time I'm Kippur, so you, the Yitzhahara, and I was trying to... So you gotta do is say no. I said to the major Dave, watch this. Open the tell them, say to them. And you break it and say goodbye. You can't say I don't want to see you again because I'll see you tomorrow. So that's what he says. Look at
he's like, oh, you can't do what you did then. Whatever, so then don't.
I brought this example. I brought this example to show you what he's saying over here. The Yitzhahara wants a seat at your table. The Yitzhahara wants to be a manda omer. Why do you have manda omer? Sometimes Yitzhahara will also agree. If you get into a mood that it's important for you, for the goy or the Yitzhahara to agree with you that you're doing this good, then you're in trouble.
I'm so you never know with those Yitzhahara, so with the actions that come after.
Yeah. So. Ultimately, the action is good. Is good. I'm not trying to say that all the action is. This is mostly a type of statement to say that I'm not going to allow. I learned good for 3 years and say now because I tripped and had a need then. Right, don't tell me because I learned 3 years. I'm no good. That's good. That's really me. And you, Yitzhar, fooled me now. That's what I'm trying to
explain. People do it both ways.
But I use it a few times, I watch the reaction, and it actually is helpful because it puts things in the right perspective.
So that doesn't mean they're going to realize that they're going to be able to learn the way they learned.
No, it may, yeah, just you learn. When you're learning, you're doing a mitzvah, and it's like it's a tape. It's like, that's not the
point. I read a story recently, the Elti and the Ela, that one said, no, that's not who we really are, that's whatever. One says, no, that's who you are, and the Tahara. I saw it both ways recently.
Okay.
So what is it? Like one person was saying that I'll say a person mishafni though that's not who you really are. That's whatever. Wants to know that's who you are. Actually, Tahara bothers you the whole year. I saw both ways.
The real emphasis every year is Yitzhatev. That's who really is because Yitzhatev comes from his neshama, and Yitzhatev comes from his guf. So the guf is the Aaron. The neshama comes into the guf.
Well, we get to have that story. Who you really are, you found who you are all year round. That the normal Sammy.
Yeah. You actually saying interesting. Brother, if you want to stay this 9:30, I'll tell you. But let's we're almost out of time here. Okay, let's continue going for minutes. He says, from the most powerful of his shluchim, he says, what does he really do? Look at this. Among the strongest weapons which he'll fire at you and wage war with you in your innermost being is to try to cast doubt on things you deem to be true, you know to be true, and to confuse what is clear to you, and to confuse your mind with false thoughts and erroneous arguments, and to draw you away from what is for your benefit, and to cause you doubt that was clear to you in your faith and religion. So that's what he does. That's what he does. I remember this quickly. Peter was the one that the whole thing started in 2004. They started fighting with Shechita. The typical defense that people take with the Shechita, what are you talking about? Shechita is so humane. It's a sharp. It's such as a stable. They gave us the best way to kill a cow or an animal. The Shechita is very sharp. How analyze how they feels it. And what are you doing? You're setting yourself up for a problem. And this is where they go, oh, you just give me a reason that it's sharp and it's humane. So you want humane. We also want humane. So let's get together and let's agree for the most humane way to do it. And their most humane way and your most humane way, you'll find out down the road, there's different stories. What are you supposed to tell them? Shechita is a mitzvah. We do shechita because Hashem tells us the mitzvah. We also happen to know that it's also the most humane. We don't look as it's humane. But we do. You know something? With that argument, we were able to keep these animals away. We never changed anything. We want to make sure all the goyim understand that shechita is the most humane. You want to make sure they agree with you. Admit them all. They'll get you into a corner and try to make you change things that they can't or you can't defend as humane or whatever. Am I getting it? So the point is that's what the Yitzhak wants. He wants to get a seat at the table. He wants to agree with you. And once you get him to that and his agreement, then he'll get you when he doesn't agree with you, something bothers you. And then maybe you'll make a decision based on because he said that, and that's how one of the ways he gets in there. So how do you throw it out? And it says like this on top of page 6. If you guard yourself from him and you're ready and you have ready the weapons of your intellect to wage war with him and deflect his energy from you, you'll be saved and you will escape from him with Hashem's help. But if you leave your matters to him and you are run after his will, he will not let you up until it destroys from both worlds. In other words, if you have to fight him. You have to fight him. How are you going to fight him? Through understanding the answer to every of his questions. You understand? So that's what he says. You have to have the first 9. And that's how you can push him away. Now, look at the next paragraph. Therefore, let no other war distract you from this war, no battlefield from this battlefield, no sword from this, and there's this enemy to a sword of an enemy which is close to quarters. Yes, you have enemies from the outside. But this is mammoth within you and separate from you. You let not the effort repel the enemy which will not approach you without permission. Look at this, the way he puts it. Sometimes there's an enemy that needs permission to approach you, prevent you from repelling the enemy who approaches you from without any permission, since he exists within you. The Yitzhar comes to you, it doesn't ask you permission. He comes, he gives you ideas without your permission. So that's why he's more important now. For it was said that five men met once men to turn from war against the enemies, and they brought spoils of raging war. He said to them, you return from a small war with spoils, not prepared for the big war. And which big war? He answered, the war of Yitzhar and his legions. It's a wonder, my brother, for any enemy. Now he describes Yitzhak in another very important way. Any enemy that one has, if he defeats him once or twice, he will back down from you and not consider waging war again. Thinking your strength is greater than his, he abandons thoughts of defeating you and overpowering you. You have an enemy, he comes to fight you. You punch him out once, punch him out twice. He realizes you're stronger than him. He stays away from you. However, and this is, this is the point that a lot of people miss. I have had a good few years. I had a problem. I overcame the problem. I had a few good years, a few good months. And weiter, Zakti, the Chavis always tells you, but the Yetzer is not satisfied with one battle, not even 100 battles, but he has defeated you or you have defeated him. Why? Because if he defeats you, he will slay you. And if you defeat him, he will lie in wait all your days to defeat you. He doesn't give up. And therefore, the next paragraph, it is proper for you to be on your guard against him, not fulfill the slightest of his requests. Why? Rather, let it be a big in your eyes, even the smallest force of victory of him, or the least increase of your power over him, so that you will gain a step of defeating him on higher and higher ground, because his lust to destroy you will soon return, and he will not be capable of standing up to you when you stand firm against him. So this is another thing, and this is very important. Aviz Hashem, as we As we get stronger in Avatachana, we get stronger in serving Hashem, we have to know that we have an enemy within. And the enemy within, well, doesn't give up. So if you had a good 3 years and you knocked him down, doesn't mean he's died, he's gone. He will come to you again. This argument is so clear and so good. And if you tell it to someone, I've said it to many Bachim and who are going through these type of challenges. And once they realize that it's not that they're no good, it's not that they're corrupted, they can't stand up. This is the nature of the thing. You have a win, then you try to try a different angle. It's a different angle. And that's next week, we're out of time. But next week, we're going to get into, I just want to show you quickly. I have the team book, and we have making a curriculum. And interestingly enough, they led me the right way. Using four keys of clarity. What are four keys of clarity? If you know you have a neshama, and if you know that you have a neshama, and you have to have emunah and betochen and kavanah sabdiyah, they have a purpose in life. You take those four keys and understanding what you're going on, you can overcome the insanity you have. And interestingly enough, the first four attacks is how does a person exactly in this order. Look at page 8. The first thing he comes to attack you, I didn't put these headings in English, but the first thing he attacks you is he tells you there's no life after death. Neshama lives on forever. He tries to convince you that you're another like another animal and just enjoy life. When in fact you have a neshama, because you have a neshama, everything changes. If you beat him on that and you prove to him as a neshama, so then he says, okay, then he starts fighting you. So he keeps on fighting. He doesn't back away. He changes his fight. And he said, okay, but he starts to challenge your emunah. So that's number two. Then he said, the third fight, he said, okay, there is a moon, there's Eibushta, but maybe the other Eibushta, whatever he says. Yeah. Now, that's betachon means when you know for sure there's only one Eibushta, he challenges your betachon. And finally, the fourth attack he does, he attacks your religious service is pointless. He finds that your Eibushta doesn't do nothing for you. Huh?
Those four.
Mamish. I remember. Learning this, I got very excited because the Abisham, you know, sometimes you do something, you know, I was learning this. The Abisham Amish led me. The four keys of clarity is you have to know you have a neshama. The neshama is eternal. The neshama is forever. And forget, who are you really? You're really a neshama. And therefore, that's why you have to have tzedek mitzvah, etc. And you have to have a moon that Hashem creates you, and Hashem puts you in this world. And there is Abisham. And then you have to have a tachah that Hashem will help you because there is no other power. Only Hashem tells you in the state to trust Him. And finally, you have to know there's a kavanah sabdiyah, there's a purpose why you're here. There's a avodah to do. People are constantly looking for the easy life, like an America, a sickness. Everybody's looking for chill, you know, I gotcha. Yeah. So that's not why a person was created. A person was created to accomplish. And you see, when people accomplish, they're happy. When people are working, the days of, and when people just do nothing, they waste and they rot, because that's not the way they were created. Okay, so Mitchell, next week we'll continue. Next week is a Wednesday, right? And then now we can talk about any questions you have. What do you have?
No, back to that original question.
What's the original question?
No, what's that trigger thing? Person knows that something's going to bother them. Nothing going to get in a bad mood or whatever. Are they supposed to overcome it and look away from it?
Okay, so somebody invited me to go in this. So I was there, I'm going to a prison to give chizuk to the prison.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So if I decide to go, I'm going to get triggered. I know when I walk into there, I'm now going to a place that has memories, and it's easy for me to do that, but I know I have to protect myself. The way he says it, my seichel is going to overcome my emotions. I'm not going to have emotions to overtake me.
You have to be like a soldier for that, right? It's not, I know, but...
I think the word trigger is more applicable when something happens to you,
but
and you don't have time to think, so triggered. Huh?
No, let's say it's an outside force. Okay.
Oh, I'm getting a trigger. They mean they don't want to deal with the emotion.
And put them
in there. Let's say going to prison.
But I'm saying so that's why.
This room is off now.
No, Sunday. Okay, we have to say good night to everybody next week. Monday night.
Okay, I'll give everybody.